if you really want to do deep work, you have to get to a place where you said, I don't have these other distractions. And you have to sometimes artificially set that up. Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
How's it going out there, WFO Life Podcast listeners? So Dr. Curtis and I, as we're often to do some reading and preparation and inspiration for the podcast. And so today we're going to share with you kind of the highlights of an article that seemed to touch on, you know, quite a few topics that we cover here on the WFO Live Podcast. So today we're going to talk about higher states of consciousness. A lot of people know those as flow states. So, you know, Dr. Curtis, I came across this, and I know a lot of this kind of, you know, maybe delve into your specialty of, you know, how the body works. So hopefully this will be a fun topic for both of us to cover from our various perspectives.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of study and reading on flow states. I took a look at the article that you brought up, and I certainly a good overview of different ways that people can get into flow states. But it's, you know, a flow state is really a performance state. And flow states are a mindset or a mode of neurologic functioning that can create amazing results, whether that be on a soccer pitch or a basketball court when an athlete's in a full flow state where they're just, you know, it seems like just everything they just touch, you know, works. Or it can be a person who's creative that's painting or, you know, creating something, working on a project where they have to be really, really detailed. You know, and you look up from that and you realize, I've been working on this for 5 hours and I didn't probably, yeah. It seems like my eyes blinked and it was over, you know? Well, that's flow state. That's that deep, deep work zone that we can get into. And I love the topic, and I've kind of studied it a little bit on and off, and because it's an area where we want flow state, and flow state can be achieved, and that's kind of a cool aspect. We should work to get into flow states, and there's things that make that optimal.
Yeah, I know, and it might be similar for you, but I know the two, I guess, most common areas or ways that I've been in flow states are, one, physical, like, you know, competing in a sport or running. That's definitely one area, and we'll cover that. The other one, you know, has to do with work. And a lot of times, you know, I think when you're given a presentation or if you're in a potentially challenging situation with a boss or colleague, it is helpful to be in the right state, to be in that flow state if you can. So I think that there's, you know, obviously a lot of times people associate the workflow state with doing things on your own, like writing or, you know, brainstorming for new projects. But, you know, I'm going to try to bring up a couple examples where I've kind of had one in stream, so to speak, when I'm in a big moment with the work. So we'll cover like the physical part with, you know, working out or you know, running, and then maybe some work related stuff. And I think the other one's like dreaming, you know, which is kind of interesting. The whole idea of being able to induce yourself to have a lucid or a almost like a semi-conscious dream state. So that's right. Kind of cool to consider. But I figured out I'd read. We'll share this whole article. I can't remember if you have to have an account. I think there's a free, and then there's like a $2 a month paid account. But it's a really cool service called Medium. And you know, once you read a bunch of articles on there, it'll email you a couple times a week and set up like a reading list that is, you know, matches with your reading history. So it's a really cool way to find articles about, you know, a bunch of different topics. So I've enjoyed it. I think I have the paid version so I can share articles and have unlimited reads, but I definitely encourage people in their busy lifestyles to have something like this where, you know, it's not necessarily reading a book where it's a big investment, but it kind of keeps you, I think, mentally sharp and up on areas that you're interested in. So I've enjoyed it. So hopefully we can share it with the folks out there. So yeah, I'm going to read the intro and then we'll get into it. So it says, higher states of consciousness are a window into a different way of thinking. each state will change how you think. The cool thing, you can create these higher states of consciousness to alter the course of your life. That's a little dramatic, but I guess it could be true.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, it says, I've used flow states as an example to write consistently for the past 7 years. Without this higher state of consciousness, I'd be stuck back in 2014 trying to get over my fear of what other people thought about my writing. Flow states mean I simply don't give a damn anymore about any of that. So it says a change in consciousness helps you separate the important from the unimportant. Outside noise disappear. The level, depth, and length of your focus changes. It says if your brain had a God mode, it would be higher states of consciousness. So I don't know. What do you think about that? My little melodramatic for my liking, but I get what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's just trying to describe this area of higher consciousness where it seems like a deeper level of thought and creativity come from. I'm much like the author because I create online content fairly frequently outside of even our podcast. And one of the things that I notice is that if I prepare my work session properly, and for me, it needs to be in the morning. For me, it often is best after exercise. But when I find myself ready to create something, if I get into a really good flow state, it's a deeper level of thought. And it's a place where ideas are free to come forward. I'm able to sort of string ideas and themes together easier. And the way I know that I've been in flow state for me is I look up and an hour and 35 minutes went by.
Like you lose track of time. That's like one.
Yeah,
of the
yeah. It's like I just totally lost track of time, and it seems like a blink of an eye and an hour and a half went by. That's when I know that I truly got there. And then I also notice it's much like a muscle, and I work at it. And a lot of people that write or do things creative like that, they notice that the more they work at it, you can actually get into flow state. For me, it takes no interruptions and about 15 minutes of sort of warming up where I'm working and writing and sort of fiddling around trying to get myself on track. But once I'm in the flow of creating something, then that time just warps by. And that's when I know flow state. And I probably use it more now writing and creating content for my patients and listeners. But also, like as you mentioned, we can get into like runner's high and some of these areas where, you know, we can achieve these altered states as well through physical activities, which I'm familiar with as well.
Yeah, I think it's cool that what you talked about, because I think a lot of people hear about things like this and are not sure like how they can induce it on their own. And I think for most of us, the first couple times it's probably happened like maybe not as deliberately as we'd like it to be. And then like you were saying, the more you consistently, like you gave the analogy, which was good, like a muscle. So once you've gotten in that state multiple times, you're like, oh, I remember now the conditions that I had to have. You mentioned a couple of them for you, you know, having, you know, ease into it and, you know, make sure you have, no interruptions, you know, maybe have some exercise before to kind of tie in that, you know, mind body connection that helps you get into it. So I think I know it's helpful for me because, you know, sometimes you hear authors or somebody talk and you're like, oh, that sounds really cool, but they didn't really, you know, tell us how they got there. And so I thought that's what was cool about this article. And then, you know, some of the things you mentioned is like, hey, here are some techniques that may help you, you know, induce this state, which is kind of cool if you think about being able to turn it off and on to some extent on these like higher states of consciousness.
So, yeah, there's definitely things that are don'ts. For instance, I have 1 to 2 days a week where I really try to do this on purpose. And if I start that morning where, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to work on this, but I get interrupted by a call from the office or some sort of administrative thing that I've got to take care of, or a text here and there about, you know, something that's outside of what I'm working on, that can completely derail, like failure to launch that entire, you know, it's like for me, it's like a moonshot. I've got to, you know, got to have everything right. And then, you know, and if that's not there, and that's why I think we've done episodes in the past where we talked about interruptions and media and you know, content, you know, just kind of the phones distracting us and things like that. It really is a situation. If you want to do that, really what we're talking about is deep work in some situations. Sure. If you really want to do deep work, you have to get to a place where you said, I don't have these other distractions. And you have to sometimes artificially set that up, you know, set the phone in the other room, or you don't want it vibrating on your desk. You don't want alerts on your computer popping up every 5 minutes, you know, all those kind of things. Turn your email off so it's not chiming, you know, every time something comes in. And then, you know, be comfortable. I just think that, you know, there's a whole thing I know that, like, if things aren't right, I know the things that definitely don't let me get into flow state, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, it's funny. I noticed it the other day when I was going to put my phone into do not disturb mode. I can't remember exactly why, but my phone, I have an Android phone, and it actually has a focus mode, which is slightly different than do not disturb. And I'm reading from it right now. It says, need some time to yourself. It says focus mode helps you avoid distractions from your phone and keep your life in focus. It says all apps will be blocked in focus mode except for the apps that you choose to allow. So it's kind of cool how, you know, technology is great, but also, you know, even the technology creators realize, wow, this thing is like a little, you know, crack rock in your hand. You know, you get it so addicted to just killing time. So it's kind of cool that, you know, they've come up with like features built. It's not even an app. It's just a feature built in the phone. It says, hey, if you need to be in focus mode, you can click that. And then it only allows maybe like emergency, you know, I guess contact from certain people. And then everything else is turned off. So even if you wanted to, you wouldn't be able to get in Facebook or, you know, browse the internet, which is kind of cool. So it has to save us technology has to save us from ourselves, I guess, sometimes. So.
Gosh, it seems like that would be a paradigm shift for the world would be, why don't that be default mode? Like, yeah. That's the way it should be. And then we use it only when we're, you know, wanting to use it or at designated times rather than interrupting our lives all the time. I'm gonna have to look at. I've got an Apple, but I've got to look at, see if I've got something.
I'm sure it has something similar, but it's kind of cool. Yeah. But so I guess like for some specifics, the first thing on here, which I think a lot of people probably at least have heard of, even if they hadn't experienced this, is like runner's high. So, and I think this can be done in different ways. Like it gives some examples here, but it also says, I mean, the cool thing about some of these, it's not only a mental state, there's physiological things that your body is doing when you get into this state known as runner's high. You know, there's certain chemicals through your body. The one most people hear about is endorphins that are produced to, you know, kind of take the pain and discomfort away from the run. But I think, you know, me having run a bunch of marathons and done some intense training in the Marine Corps and other things, I think that besides the physical benefits, it does give you almost like a euphoric type state that makes you, I guess, have a higher sense of accomplishment, you know? So I think that that's what's cool for me is like this one I've experienced a lot of different times, and there's like a mental and a physical aspect to it, which, you know, is not really always common in these like mental states. So,
Yeah. And going back to the idea of, we're talking about higher states of consciousness of various types. You mentioned it, that lucid dreaming might be one, but I think that part of the runner's high, yes, there's the endorphin, there's the sense of time flowing past quickly. I often will start out on a run and I might have a problem in my mind, like something I'm dealing with. And often once I get near the end, especially if I get into a true runner's high where I'm really feeling good, I feel accomplished right near the run, sometimes I'll kind of speed up at the end and kind of really get the endorphins going. When that happens, I come, you know, complete that run with a sense of accomplishment, but sometimes I'll have an answer or some sort of more like peace about whatever conflict or situation I'm dealing with, because sort of it got put on the back burner. And I think the subconscious works during these times whenever we're in flow, whenever we're not actively, cognitively just, you know, focused on ourselves all the time. I think that sometimes it allows us to just unplug and let the lower portions of the brain, the emotional sort of primordial brain, come forward with ideas or solutions that might our conscious mind doesn't always, you know, maybe arrive at because of distraction.
Yeah, I was going to say when you were talking, I was thinking about besides when I'm running, The other time where things will come to me that I've been working through is like in the shower. And it's kind of funny because when you think about it, when you're in the shower, you know, it's like you're naked by yourself, you know, so usually not going to be people around. And then just, I think a lot of it, like the sound of the water running is, you know, kind of one of those universal sounds that people, you know, find relaxing, or it kind of puts you in a focus mode on, you know, just hearing that sound of the water, you know, hitting, you know, you or the, you know, the shower floor. But I think that, running, going on a long drive by myself, you know, especially one where you're not having to deal with traffic, you know, where you're just kind of like out on, you know, open road with pretty countryside. So, those are the three, I guess, most common areas where if I'm working through something, it's helpful. And I think that, I think some people too might have a, you know, misconception about the runner's high, because I know for me, I mean, it can happen obviously when you're going to go run for 2 or 3 hours, and you know, that's kind of almost built in that your body's going to be producing different types of, you know, hormones to deal with that, that's, you know, physical stress and make it a little bit more palatable for you. But I think that, you know, this article gives an example of where if you, you know, kind of have increasing levels of effort, whatever that be for you, where you kind of go, you know, warm up kind of at a 50%, you know, go to about 70%, and then, you know, zone out a little bit where it's not like all out, but, you know, you kind of get to like a, I guess, a peak. And then towards the end of the run, it says go to, you know, 90 to 100%, you know, for, you know, kind of as long as you can go at the end. And then that, I guess even a compressed timeline, you know, version of it can produce the same things in your body. Cause I think once you're, you know, going to that, you know, physiologically, it would probably be kind of that lactate threshold, you know, where your body is like, you know, between like, you know, failing, but it's like, you know, producing at its max capacity. You do that for sometimes even like a few minutes at a time, you know, you may induce these same types of things that other people would have to get, you know, running for, you know, marathon or, you know, long distances. So I think it's cool that, you know, it gives examples on how, you know, people at different levels of fitness can maybe, you know, do this even with like a walk run type, you know, setup to get you in that state.
Yeah, I've read that same pattern before. I forget what other context I've read about the runner's high end, but that's true. Is it's basically, you know, you don't have to be running 2 and 3 hours to reach a runner's high. It's a pattern that it just depends on how much your body is stressed, and the effort and output that you do tends to trigger off that the endorphins and all of the. It just depends on how much, you know, that level of exertion was a factor for you, you know, an individual.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite workouts that I developed kind of on a treadmill. I used to hate running on treadmills, and I would just wouldn't do it, you know, if I could avoid it at all. But then, you know, different things happen. You know, I think when I was deployed and, you know, living in places with just the weather is like dangerous to be outside, you know, like in Arizona and Rhode Island come to mind, where, you know, for a while I'd be like, I'm a Marine, I'm in shape, I'm going to go outside and run hard no matter what. And it's like, well, when the wind chill is negative 30, or in Arizona, it's 130 degrees in the shade, you know, it's frustrating because like you actually can't get to the intensity that you want because it's dangerous, you know? And so, I think I'm not gonna say fell in love, but I came to tolerate the treadmill. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, one of the workouts I really like is an increasing where it's a 30-minute workout. And you start like with barely even a jog, like, you know, 5 minutes at 5 miles an hour. And then you try to go 5 minutes at 6 miles an hour. And then so and basically you get up to where, you know, you can't go 5 full minutes at the, you know, miles per hour that you're putting on there. And I think that's a cool way if anybody wants to try it. I mean, obviously you can do it just like outside if the weather's good. But on a treadmill, it kind of forces you to, you know, hey, you put 7 miles an hour, you're going to go 7 miles an hour. You're going to fly off the back of the, you know, the treadmill. And I would usually try to get up to like 10 miles an hour, which is like a pretty fast pace. And then, you know, not always make it the full 5 minutes. But then, you know, what you're doing is exactly what this article is saying. You're getting to that, whatever your 90% is. And then you're at the end. and you know, you kind of have this, you know, sense of accomplishments, and the chemicals released in your body makes you feel, you know, happy, and you know, as long as you don't hurt yourself, makes you want to, you know, do it again. So I think that's another cool thing about inducing this state, is that it might make you feel good about your workout and make you want to do it again.
Yeah, and I'll tag on to something, because we're talking about flow state and a higher level of consciousness, and one might think, if you're listening really detailed to this, you might think, well, what does a runner's high have to do with a flow state where you're like maybe more creative and things like that? Well, actually, when I was in a program with Eric Davis, one of our former guests on the show, for Navy SEAL, a guy that's, you know, best-selling author, and one of the things that he talked about in this sort of kind of human performance group sessions I was doing with him, he was talking about how we wanted to get into flow state. That was the thing. We want to get there, so because we know that we're more creative, we're more productive, and that's a place that as humans we want to be more and more. Well, we would actually study and discuss what the science said about flow states, and one of the things that was a big key was being physically active, and then, like, say you go on your big run, you get your runner's high, and then do something difficult or creative immediately after. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is that endorphin state, I think it takes a lot of the static nervous energy out of the body. It sort of allows the mind to be fully primed with blood, and
that makes sense.
And in a flow, calm, endorphins flowing, feeling good, and then you jump into whatever your task you're trying to do. Like, let's say you're going to write, a big report or for work, or you're going to do something that requires some creativity, like you're writing a book or, you know, creating content or something. That transition is often done best and easier to jump into flow states after intense exercise. Now, I'm not great about that because I like to work first thing in the morning and I don't like to exercise first thing in the morning. So what I tend to do is I'll get up. I naturally am capable of working early. So I'll get up, have my coffee, do some reading, and get into work. And then right about that time, maybe a couple hours into the morning, where I'm like, okay, I'm tired of doing that. You know, I don't feel like I'm in flow anymore. Then I can go and get a run in, you know, and come back 30, 45 minutes later and, you know, maybe shower. And like you said, you know, kind of the water and just the rhythm of relaxing a little bit, muscles and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sit down and I seem like I get another burst of flow state because of that. So I've tested that theory of getting into flow state. And I think I wanted to make sure that everyone understood why we're talking about this, because flow state is a productive state and can be a place where incredible creativity, ideas, and deeper work can go on. And there's lots of people that talk about this subject, and I think it's just fascinating, and it's something we should all be striving for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess moving on to the, I guess the meat of it is, you know, how do you get into that flow state? We talked a little bit about the runner's high, and that's kind of like a physical and emotional, I guess, mental connection with exercise. But, you know, you talked about, you know, using exercise to induce kind of the more mental side of it, where you can really, almost transcend what you're doing. You go into that deep work phase where you're highly productive. The work you're producing is high quality, and you can get a lot done, in some cases in a shorter period of time. So I think that inducing, the flow state for yourself, I think both you and I have found that exercise does help. There's probably some other things. Obviously exercise is good for everybody, whatever that looks like for you. But I think there's other things that, you know, maybe put you in a flow state. Like if you really like listening to music or, you know, reading or, you know, things like that, I think they can set you up for success in inducing this type of state. This article, you know, it's kind of interesting how it mentions a lot of different things when it comes to the flow state. You know, it's like this gentleman who wrote this said he feels like his ego vanishes, which is kind of interesting, you know. So, and he also talks about, you know, channeling emotion, energy, and, you know, higher levels of kind of everything, consciousness, empathy, towards, you know, whatever you're working on.
That's why flow states are super important. Well, that's why flow states are easier to get into when it's something you love. Mm-hmm. So, you know I've played sports before, like soccer or, you know, running or things like that, where you, if you really love what you're doing, or you, you know, just are in the flow, the moment of what's going on, that that makes it very easy to stay in that state. You know, if you're, mm-hmm. if you like the subject, let's say you're a student and you're studying something, you know, if you're studying some class, like, you know, I don't know, accounting or something, and you just don't really like the class, you're going to have very difficult time getting into a flow state where you're able to do more, and you're going to spend a lot more time trying to learn the same information. And that's one of the things I think is important about flow state as well. Like, you know, I've been at some point in my life a professional student as a doctor, you know, where I've had to study for long periods of time. When you're in real flow state, you're going to cover, absorb, and remember more content. Let's say if you're studying, if you're in flow versus sort of trying to force yourself through some, you know, some topic or something you don't like. I think that's another big aspect of, you know, whatever you're doing, it needs, you know, you're going to achieve flow and greater output whenever you're passionate and engaged in the content.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I guess maybe a trick would be if you're forced to do some work that you don't want to do, it would probably be more challenging. But I guess as you get better at knowing your triggers on how to get in a flow state, you probably could even do it for something that you're not relishing the thought of doing, right? I mean, I guess if you, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I've ever, maybe a couple times if I had just some administrative work that I had to get done. You know, I could get, I mean, I might not have the same, you know, lack of ego, you know, emotional connection to my work like you would of something you really love to do. But I think that there's probably some times now that I'm thinking about it, that if I know it's a task I have to get done, you know, so I don't like it, but it is important, I can kind of induce a state where I'm in, you know, more productive, you know, and that can mean rest or, you know, exercise before, or do something I really, you know, I'm going to have a high about, like, you know, spending time with my, you know, playing with my kids or, you know, going to watch them, you know, it's something that's going to give me a little bit of a high and then go right into something I might not love, but I know it's important. So, I mean,
yeah, those are productivity, like productivity tools. What I've done to, and I don't know that I truly get into flow state, but if I have something I don't relish doing, like balancing my checkbook or something, you know, I mean, just some kind of like, I don't like accounting activities. And so if I have that and I know it's on my to-do list, what I often will do is I'll put a timer and I'll say, I'm going to go at this for 25 minutes.
Yeah. That's
You know, and then you can kind of, you can zone your focus in, and usually you can push through if you know that the window is 25 minutes. And sometimes I'll play games with myself like, okay, just get as much as you can done on this painful task.
Yeah, write one paragraph.
Write one paragraph. Get this done for 25 minutes. And then often what will happen, not always if it's something I really don't like doing, but a lot of times what will happen is you'll look up at about 35 minutes and realize, oh, okay, I'm into it now. I'm rolling. Sure. I'll go ahead. Now I can finish the project because, look, I've already made this, you know, a little bit of progress with it, and you got some momentum. I don't know if that's truly flow state, but it's definitely a hack, a tool.
Yeah, productivity state.
Yeah, to get to that place where at least you're getting something done that, you know, you don't particularly like doing.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this one for a while, so I don't want to get off the topic without giving some tools, you know, similar to the runner's high, but it's kind of interesting. So one of the things that the author of this mentions is drink coffee. So I guess for some, you know, obviously if you're tolerant to caffeine, you know, you mentioned having some coffee first thing in the morning, and it's funny how, you know, there are a lot of benefits to caffeine, especially natural sources of it in, you know, the right quantities. And so, you know, caffeine can, you know, turn on some things in your mental and physical states. I definitely see how, you know, that could be maybe not the key to it, but helpful. You know, another thing we mentioned, it says have a warm shower to relax you. It says pump movie soundtracks through a pair of noise canceling headphones. So, I mean, that, you know,
music can be huge. It can put you in all kinds of different states. So yeah. I think music's awesome, except for you just have to be, you have to know what kind of music is going to push you into a certain place.
Yeah, and some of it's experimentation. I know I've experimented with different kinds of music, and if it's music I like too much and I recognize too many of the artists, then I get distracted because they, you know, then I start thinking about, oh, you know, a concert I went to and I saw this band or whatever. So you got to be careful. It's not something that, you know, is going to take away from your focus. So
yeah, I've been here lately. You know, I have in my I have this shop where I work on my cars and things like that, and I've got a nice sound system in there. And I noticed that I go out, if it's in the morning, I'll often play something like, you know, I don't know, Yo-Yo Ma or, you know, Mozart or something really mellow and things you would think, oh, this guy's out here listening to, you know, really mellow music. And sometimes I'll get into that mode because it just kind of warms me up and gets me going. And then what I've noticed is I tend to switch over to things like salsa or, you know, these kind of Colombian dance music or whatever. I turn that on late in the day, late in the evening, if I feel like I'm kind of waning. Yeah. And I feel like I'm kind of bopping around and doing things, you know, and that's it's interesting how music can affect you that way. And it may, you know, maybe sometime, you know, classic rock or something, you know, to kind of get you going, but it's everybody's different. You know, there's some people that, you know, they, you know, but music is a huge tool to get one in a mood or a flow state.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing it talks about is start working and just forget the end result. You know, so I think some of us have been given this tool is, you know, when you're brainstorming or if you're just, you're writing creatively to get a project started, you know, don't worry about, you know, all the content, just start working. And, you know, it says work for a minimum of 20 minutes and try to, you know, just let the work take over. And it says, you know, once you're there, you know, try to not have distractions to break your concentration. And another thing is that it says keep people who benefit from your work in your mind. So that's kind of interesting, I guess, when you get in a state and you're doing good things, you know, think about, you know, the end state, you know, whether it's, you know, helping you, your family, your career, or, you know, you're doing it to help other people. So I think it's, you know, there's a few other ones that we could probably cover in other episodes, but I know we've been trying to do these like practical bite-size topics. So this one came across my reading plate, so to speak. And I thought it was fun, you know, chatting with our experiences about how to do it and the benefits. So.
Yeah, I'm glad it mentioned, I missed that the first time I read the article, but I like they mentioned adding, you know, purpose to you know, strengthen the reason you're doing something. And I think that's, you know, if you don't have a purpose for what you're doing, you really ought to ask yourself why you're doing it to begin with. And so I think that's another great point they added. Yeah, and the flow state, I think for people that are, you know, WFO Life podcast listeners, I mean, we're all about, you know, mastering self, mastering craft, accomplishing any life mission. Well, a huge part of that for most people is getting to some type of deeper, higher level consciousness where we're creating things and we're thinking deeper and we're looking to achieve more. And you're not going to do that with superficial, you know, Twitter bite-sized level thought processes. You're just not. And I think that's why you see a recurrent theme we keep bouncing around, you know, throughout our podcast on this idea of, you know, deeper thought, you know, being purposeful and trying to be more focused on our day-to-day actions and where that's taking us. So it's a great topic. I enjoyed the flow state topic.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I came across too reading over the weekend was this whole concept of, you know, if you want to learn, you have to have some humility too. I think that articles like this, even though it's some things I think I already know about, it's helpful to say, hey, you know, I can learn from people, I can learn from, you know, reading. And so I think, you know, we think about humility in a lot of other parts of our life and how it's helpful. But, you know, I think we can learn from almost anybody in our lives, you know, our kids, coworkers, subordinates, if we're in positions of authority. But I think, you know, once we start getting to where we feel like we're a finished product, you know, you lose some of that humility. And it's like, okay, I can't learn from, you know, my environment or things around me. And that's when we, you know, stop growing and, you know, head down sometimes not the greatest path. So I think for me, it's a good reminder of like, hey, you know, I can come across things that, you know, I can learn and get myself into some cooler states of being and be better for my daily life. So
absolutely. No, I was just saying that's where the less ego is a big component of flow state. If we're not worried about whether people are thinking, how people might perceive us, that's a more pure thought process. It's a more pure place to be if you're in a creative or learning mindset.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you giving us your insights on this, Doc, and always want to put a plug in. We've had some great growth and interaction on our Future Focus Health Network. Put a link on how to join that and share it with other people. But really appreciate the, other people contributing, not just us. So it's kind of cool. We can answer questions and interact with people on there. So encourage everybody to do that and also follow us on the various social media platforms, because we'll usually alert everybody when a new episode's available and put a link to it on there. So appreciate the interaction and sharing it, because we've had fun, growing the community and interacting with everybody. So hopefully we can do it more in person soon when, as the world's opening back up. So.